This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Just days before activists gathered in various parts of the world and the United States to demand that we keep fossil fuels in the ground, Shell Oil announced there was an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The company says that a pipeline from one of its underground wells connected to an offshore platform appears to have developed a leak. Nearly 90,000 gallons have spilled across 13 miles off of the Louisiana coast. Cleanup crews are skimming oil from the surface of the water, and Shell is claiming that the spill is not expected to reach the shoreline or impact fisheries. Like other oil giants, Shell has faced mass opposition from climate activists who have deployed creative messages like Shell No to oppose the company's expansion. My guest is Anne Rolfes. She's the founding director of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, and she participated in last week's mass march in Washington, D.C. as part of the Break Free from Fossil Fuels campaign. Welcome to the program, Anne.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's talk about the spill itself. It's been about a week or so.
Yes.
And I understand something like 2,000 barrels, about 90,000 gallons of oil have spilled. What do you know about the seriousness of this spill?
Well, I know that, as usual, it is being really overlooked, certainly in this part of the it's being treated as business as usual. And honestly, for Shell and the other oil companies operating the Gulf, this is business as usual. They spill, they don't have adequate cleanup, and that's why we're calling for an end to new drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
And so, as far as you understand, how much damage has the spill caused? Shell is saying that it isn't impacting fisheries, it's not going to reach the shoreline, but the photographs that we're seeing, I mean, this looks like a big spill. You can see it from pretty far away.
Yeah, they say the spill is the size of Manhattan. I'm not sure you could find any evidence of any oil company ever telling you that there has been damage to wildlife or to people. And so Shell is simply reading a script from a very outdated playbook in which they claim that spilling an enormous amount of oil doesn't hurt wildlife. Of course it does. You know, what happened to the schools of fish that went through that oil? What happened to the larger sea life that went through that oil? You know, they defy common sense when they pretend that these spills have no impact. I think an important dynamic in this spill that has not been discussed is how it was first found. And it was not reported by Shell. They claim to have a lot of high-tech equipment and monitoring on their pipelines, but in fact, it was a helicopter pilot who simply happened to notice it and call it in.
Wow. So, and it was then Shell that responded by trying to understand where the spill came from and explained that it might have come from one of its underground pipelines?
Yes, and when they advocate for continued drilling and for current projects, what they tout every single time is the technology that they have to both detect spills, and then that they promise that that was swift and complete. And in fact, they allowed thousands and thousands of gallons of oil to be spilled into our Gulf of Mexico. You know, who knows? Were it not for that helicopter pilot, that spill might still be happening right now.
So as far as you know, have they managed to locate the source of the spill and stop it?
My understanding is that they have, yes. You know, again, it's 90 miles offshore. Yeah. We have no real way to verify that.
Right, unless you basically fly a helicopter overhead. Or take.
And we do have partners. Mm-hmm. We have partners who are doing great work. Wings of Care and Vanishing Earth are flying over the spill. But until you can actually get out there on a boat and see what's happening, it's hard to really know for yourself. And of course, that's not something that anybody other than oil company can really do.
And of course, the Gulf of Mexico is home to many offshore drilling rigs. Of course, people remember the BP oil spill, the worst ever spill. There's been a lot of criticism about how that spill was cleaned up. As far as you know, how are they trying to clean up this spill? How does one sift oil, crude oil, leaking into the ocean? Are they using the kinds of chemical dispersants that BP used?
They claim that they are not using dispersants. That is a question, of course, that we asked right away. From my understanding, they have had four skimmers out there. The good news, you know, that would mean that the boats go and actually skim the oil off of the water. You know, those boats who reportedly have a capacity of 2 million gallons a day. And yet they've only collected, as of Sunday, they'd only collected 50,000 gallons, not of oil, but of oil and water. So if you consider that almost 100,000 gallons were spilled, they're really a long way from this up. And, you know, let's be honest, how do you get it back in the bottle after you spilled it? You know, the answer is simply to stop this madness.
Right. I mean, if you basically pour a bunch of oil in a glass of water and then figure out a way to separate them, good luck, especially when that glass of water is as large as an ocean.
Exactly. You know, so in all of their permit applications and all of their descriptions of their cleanup technology, they really are in a fantasy land. And what we found with this disaster, this spill, is that their cleanup isn't as comprehensive as it should be. They weren't able to detect the spill, and they're not able to clean it up. I mean, what more evidence do you need to know to say, let's just keep this stuff in the ground?
Now, you said that this is essentially business as usual. In the Gulf, off of the Louisiana coast where you are based, how routine are such spills in the ocean?
That's a great question. There is something called the National Response Center, and that is where, that's the federal agency, federal point of contact for all oil spills and all accidents in the Gulf and then to some degree onshore, just within a few miles onshore. Last year, there were over 2,000 reported accidents to the National Response Center. About 732 of those accidents involved crude oil. So this is, you know, an everyday phenomena that some pipe somewhere, some barge somewhere is having an accident and putting oil into our precious, precious Gulf of Mexico.
Let's talk about government agencies that one would imagine are protecting our commons and our oceans in particular from these sorts of spills. What about the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement? I understand that there's also the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. What are they doing or not doing about such spills?
Look, you know, they are allowing Shell to operate just as they are now. I mean, the fact that they haven't come down hard on them for not even knowing that they had a spill gives you an idea of the environment that we're working in which you know, the Shell and the other oil companies are absolutely in control. I was in a meeting just yesterday in Washington, D.C. with some of the senior officials from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. It's the agency in charge with overseeing this drilling. And they tried to tell our group, and our group was from the Atlantic, from the Gulf, saying collectively, we don't want drilling on any coast. They gave us the same old line that, oh, this transition away from fossil fuels will take a very long time. And we pushed back on that and said it will take long if we don't have leadership. And that's what we lack right now. There certainly is not leadership in the federal government. These agencies are agencies that are there to permit drilling and to allow it. That's a fundamental problem.
So, Anne, in what is essentially a constant theme of our program, when corporations and government fail us, people rise up. And people in Louisiana, with your organization, Louisiana Bucket Brigade, and environmental and climate justice activists around the country and the world, are tired of this sort of state of affairs. We'd been covering a little bit of the Break Free from Fossil Fuels campaign and the simultaneous actions happening worldwide over the past week. Tell us about what you participated in Washington, D.C. Basically, you were in D.C. just after the news of the spill broke?
Yes. Yes, so the spill happened on Thursday, and then I went to Washington, D.C. on Saturday to join people who live at the Arctic and along the Atlantic coast to say that we don't want drilling on any coast, to say that this is not a movement. This is not just a few people in New Orleans. It's not just a few people on the East Coast. It's not just a few Alaskans who are saying that we don't want drilling. Instead, it's hundreds and thousands of us from every coast we're clearly the ones who have to lead on this issue because our government and the oil industry is not. I think what's exciting about this moment is that we're reaching, we have more power than we've had in the past. Just yesterday or 2 days, the Senate of the state of Louisiana issued a proclamation that they want future drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, you can look at that as a negative. Of course, it's really a misguided resolution to say we want more drilling. But it also shows that we have power. It shows that they're hearing from us and that they're scared. That's nothing but good news. They should be scared.
So, Shell in particular has faced the wrath of activists around the country. You mentioned the Arctic. Didn't activists win a victory in the Arctic, preventing Shell from being able to expand its offshore operations there? Tell us about the kind of activism aimed at Shell, very creative activism.
Yeah, I think the kayaktivists were a really great example that I drew a lot of inspiration from. When I was up in Seattle for a little while, in the kayak chasing down the rig that Shell wanted to send to the Arctic. And you might think that that would feel dispiriting to be a person boat chasing a big oil rig. But in fact, I think we all really felt our power. So there certainly is that kind of creativity that was born on the West Coast that we're bringing here. The fact, just the idea of showing up en masse and blocking these auctions and interfering with them, interfering with the government's attempt to sell off what are public lands, that's really creative. That's a new approach. And yet it's happening all over the country. In Colorado just last week, they delayed an auction. There were something like 52 people arrested on the train tracks in Oregon, trying to stop the oil trains there. So this is a movement whose time has come. And I can tell you, I've been working on this subject for about 20 years. It is beautiful to be a part of. And I encourage your listeners and viewers to join it, because this is a victorious movement. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're gaining a lot of steam.
Now, it's not clear if the oil spill off of the Louisiana coast has anything to do with this, but Shell has apparently just announced a new division to invest in renewables and low carbon power, which could include wind power. They're talking about, the CEO is talking about solar power being the future of energy. How do you feel about Shell making such claims and, getting excited about an industry that directly competes with its own?
I don't think any of us relish the idea of Shell and Exxon and Chevron being the ones who bring us solar power. And yet, if they are shifting their business model, I think that's nothing but good news. If they would completely get out of fossil fuels and transition to wind and solar, that would be victory.
Do you think this is just an element of essentially greenwashing by the Shell Corporation?
There certainly is some greenwashing involved, but I also think that they see the handwriting on the wall that people want renewables.
And then finally, give out a website for your organization and what's there for the future. I mean, we're really at a breaking point on the issue of climate change. If things don't dramatically change very, very soon, yesterday, we're doomed. How are you kicking up your activism and your fellow activists? So, what's next?
Well, our website is LA, short for Louisiana, not Los Angeles, labucketbrigade.org. And we invite all of your listeners to come to New Orleans on August 24th when we will work to interrupt a lease sale of 20 million acres of our Gulf of Mexico to more oil companies. So, yes, the stakes are higher as we get nearer to a point where there's no turning back. And so we're elevating our activism and showing up to stop this really misguided drilling and reliance on fossil fuels.
That's labucketbrigade.org. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much, Anne, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Anne Rolfes. She is the founding director of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, and she actually participated in last week's mass march in Washington, D.C., a global campaign called Break Free from Fossil Fuels. This is Rising Up at Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com. You can also find us on Vimeo at RU with Sonali, as well as on iTunes, and also look for us on Facebook and Twitter.